Hello, and welcome to this live show recording of my ongoing play series, Faustus to Faustus, this part one of which premiered at the Marlowe Society of America conference last year on Wednesday the 10th of July 2024. It was recorded live in a pub, which was appropriate for Marlowe, but it means it's a far from perfect recording, especially as we couldn't do a dress run so that I could mix takes together. So I have tidied up the take as best as I can, and I hope that the conviviality of the audience will carry you past the technical limitations. We did record a studio version, but the audience at the conference got my jokes, so I want to archive that for the sake of my ego. Part two of this ongoing exploration of the process of adaptation and rewriting of the original source of Dr. Faustus, with the later iterations of the play, will premiere at our Weird Revels in October, closing our season after the final show of the B-text of Dr. Faustus. Otherwise, enjoy the atmosphere of a pub somewhere in the vicinity of Deptford. No, not that one.
Welcome to this live recording of Faustus to Faustus by Robert Crichton. Firstly, the caveats. This will present the creation of the opening of the play Dr. Faustus from the primary source, the translated Faust book, The History of the Damnable Life and Deserved Death of Dr. John Faustus by P.F. Our demonstration dialogue of the flow of one text into another is, of course, nonsense. Real authors don't work this way. This is a work of fiction. Think of us as spirits temporarily presenting the forms of Marlowe and of Nash, what might be rather than what was. For this show, we are using the B-text of Dr. Faustus as our primary endpoint, in that the scenes we are presenting match the source more closely than the A-text, though elements clearly altered for censorship are lifted from the A-text. The precise journey of the two distinct versions is a little outside our scope, and we had to choose something. Feel free to argue about it with us afterwards. But for now, Beyond presents Faustus to Faustus by Robert Crichton, with Ruel Fox as Christopher Marlowe and Robert Crichton as Thomas Nash. Faustus to Faustus Part 1, Enter a Devil.
The History of the Damnable Life and Deserved Death of Dr. Faustus.
Yep, that's the one.
It's got potential.
That's what you keep saying.
You agreed.
I still do, but we still need to, you know,
write an actual play.
That's the badger.
Yes.
It's got potential.
That it does. Mm,
the beginning is strong.
Mm, excellent, of faith.
And the ending.
The ending.
Terrifying. But,
Yes?
Well, the middle.
Yes.
Bit of a muddle.
Yes. Well, I'm sure we'll figure something out.
So, shall we start with the opening?
Yes, let's.
It's got a nice true crime feel to it. A discourse of the most famous Dr. John Faustus of Wittenberg in Germany, conjurer and necromancer, wherein is declared many strange things that he himself has seen and done in the earth and in the air, with his bringing up, his travails, studies, and last end.
Is it true?
Of course not.
No, more's the pity. Shall we begin with chapter one?
Of his parentage and birth.
So, prologue.
Prologue.
I don't see prologues going out of fashion in my lifetime.
John Faustus, born in the town of Rhodes, being in the province of Weimar in Germany. His father, a poor husbandman, not able well to bring him up, but having an uncle at Wittenberg, a rich man and without issue, took this Faustus from his father and made him his heir, in so much that his father was no more troubled with him, for he remained with his uncle at Wittenberg, where he was kept at the university in the same city to study divinity.
Do we need the uncle?
Uncle?
It's just uncle this, father that, and back and forth. It seems like too much of a detail.
No. No uncle.
So, at uni studying divinity, but Faustus, being of a naughty mind and otherwise addicted, applies not his studies, but took himself to other exercises, the which his uncle...
Now cut.
Oftentimes hearing, rebuked him for it, as Eli oftentimes rebuked his children for sinning against the Lord. Oh, dear. Are there a lot of biblical footnotes?
They're easy cuts. Just put some moralising in the opener and closer. That should cover it.
Maybe. Perhaps we can do something with them. Set the moralising to one side for now.
Well, you can't have someone come on and sermonise.
I know.
It's a play, remember?
Hmm. All right, so, this Faustus, having godly parents, who, seeing him to be of a toward wit, were very desirous to bring him by in those virtuous studies, namely of divinity, but he gave himself secretly to study necromancy and conjuration, in so much that few or none could perceive his profession.
But!
I like a book with buts, ands are so linear.
But to the purpose, Faustus continued at study in the university and was by the rectors and 16 masters afterwards examined how he had profited in his studies, and being found by them that none for his time were able to argue with him in divinity or for the excellency of his wisdom to compare with him, with one consent they made him Doctor of Divinity.
For which the saint of good fivers be praised.
But Dr. Faustus, within short time after he had obtained his degree, fell into such fantasies and deep cogitations that he was mocked of many, and of the most part of the students was called the Speculator.
What was your nickname at uni?
I know what yours was.
Moving on.
Sometimes he would throw the scriptures from him as though he had no care of his former profession, so that he began a most ungodly life, as hereafter more at large may appear. For the proverb saith, who can hold that will away? So who can hold Faustus from the devil that seeks after him with all his endeavour?
We're not doing proverbs. We're not fucking Hayward.
For he accompanied himself with divers that were seen in those devilish arts, and that for the Chaldean, Persian, Hebrew, Arabian, and Greek tongues.
Oh, add something in Greek.
Using figures, characters, conjurations, incantations, with many other ceremonies belonging to those infernal arts as necromancy, charms, soothsayings, witchcraft, enchantment.
Do you think we'll get in trouble if we overdo the actual summoning?
Oh, people aren't dumb enough to believe we'd actually summon demons.
Famous last words.
Being delighted with their books, words, and names so well that he studied day and night therein, insomuch that he could not abide to be called Doctor of Divinity, but waxed a worldly man and named himself an astrologian and a mathematician, and for shadow sometimes a physician, and did great cures. Namely with herbs, roots, waters, drinks, receipts, and clysters.
Ah, a list. A bit too much with the lists.
Well, it might help the players to learn.
But it's all a bit dry. We need to set the audience up for this kind of material.
It's not Tamburlaine.
That it is not.
This play...
At least not at the start.
It's not so big.
Not so bombastic.
Not
marching in the fields of Thrasymene. Where Mars did mate the warlike Carthagins.
Nor
sporting in the dalliance of love in court of kings where state is overturned. Nor in the pomp of proud audacious deeds intends our muse to vaunt her heavenly verse.
You're not getting any of that. Now we give them what they're getting. It's a minor key. It's only...
Only this, gentles, we must now perform.
We must. We really must. You can't complain because we must.
We must perform the form of Faustus' fortunes, good or bad. And now, to patient judgments, we appeal and speak for Faustus in his infancy.
Be still. Be patient.
Shut the fuck up.
What were the auspices again? Remind me of the opening passage.
John Faustus, born in town of Rhodes, being in the province of Weimar in Germany, his father, a poor husbandman, and not be well able to bring him up, but having an uncle at Wittenberg...
Sans uncle,
a rich man, and without issue took this Faustus from his father and made him his heir, insomuch that his father was more troubled with him, for he remained with his uncle at Wittenberg, where he was kept at the university in the same city to study divinity.
Now, is he born of parents base of stock? In Germany, within a town called Rhodes, at riper years to Wittenberg he went, whereas his kinsmen chiefly brought him up.
Kinsmen. Than uncle, yeah.
So much he profits in divinity that shortly he was graced with doctor's name. Excelling all, and sweetly can dispute in heavenly matters of theology. More?
And without doubt, he being passing wise and excellent perfect in the Holy Scriptures, etc. But Faustus threw all this in the wind.
Arrogance, self-love, self-conceit.
And made his soul of no estimation regarding more his worldly pleasures than the joys to come. Therefore, in the day of judgment, there is no hope of his redemption.
Till, swollen with cunning of a self-conceit, his waxen wings did mount above his reach, and melting heavens conspired his overthrow, for falling to a...
Devilish exercise.
Oh, falling to a devilish exercise. Nice.
Thank you.
You can sometimes pitch a really original line.
It's from the book.
Oh. I hadn't noticed.
It several times.
Moving on. More?
Faustus' mind was set to study the arts of necromancy and conjuration, the which exercise he followed day and night.
And glutted now with learning's golden gifts, he surfeits upon cursed necromancy.
And taking to him the wings of an eagle, thought to fly over the whole world and to know the secrets of heaven and earth.
Nothing so sweet as magic is to him, which he prefers before his chiefest bliss. And this the man that in his study sits.
We're opening in his study?
Yeah.
Oh, why not start in the wood?
No. Let's start small.
Enclosed.
Tight.
Restricted. Scene one. Faustus discovered.
In his study.
Conjuring demons.
Not yet.
Aww.
We told them about Faustus, about his plans. Now we show it.
Show it?
Through a soliloquy.
Oh, very showy. Very demonstrative.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Books.
Books.
He's got all the books.
He's read all the books.
He's read all the approved books.
There's only the unapproved books left, and that means...
Demons!
Eventually. So, what books?
Aristotle's Ethics.
His Analytics.
Seton's Dialectica.
The Bible.
Lily's Grammar.
Enough to drive anyone to witchcraft. Lots of books.
Which he dismisses because being excellent perfect in the Holy Scriptures, he is bored with them.
He's already thinking of doing witchcraft, but he hasn't settled to it.
It's a last chance to see if he can get anything out of his books.
Settle thy studies, Faustus, and begin. To sound the depth of that thou wilt profess... Having commenced, be a divine in show, yet level at the end of every art, and live and die in Aristotle's works. Sweet analytics, 'tis thou hast ravished me. Benedis hereres, finis lo... Are you humming?
No.
Where was I?
Asking if disputing well is logic's chiefest end.
Doesn't scan.
I do prose, mate. And Faustus cries out, "Is this all there is?" and casts aside Aristotle.
Affords this art no greater miracle, then read no more. Thou hast attained that end. A greater subject fitteth Faustus wits. Bid on Chimaeon farewell.
Ooh, bit of Greek.
I said I'd get some in.
Oh, I like the pettiness of him. If I can't get something out of it, just skip it.
Yes, it's like our Faustus isn't actually a great scholar. Unlike the book, our Faustus skims everything, looking only for what will aid him.
Nothing like your student days at all.
I was a model pupil.
Not what I heard, but I know what you mean. The book has this guy as the best student ever. Mm. Like knowing stuff will inevitably lead you to hell.
Ah, we can't have that.
No. It's not learning as such. Mm. It's shallow learning. It's not doing the work. It's seeing what you can get out of it, which, as we know in financial terms, is bugger all.
So, if he's reading Galen, say, it's not to be a physician to help people per se, more
to heap up gold.
And be eternized in some wondrous cure.
Fame!
Doing it for the fame.
To live a life of endless fortune.
Though, we shouldn't go too far off source. We should give him some achievements, otherwise his fall has no...
Impact?
Yes. It's his motives that we need to get right.
Right.
I am.
Just healing people isn't enough.
The end of our physic is our body's health. Why, Faustus, hast thou not attained that end? Are not thy bills hung up as monuments, whereby whole cities have escaped the plague and thousand desperate maladies been cured? Yet art thou still but Faustus and a man? Couldst thou make men to live eternally, or being dead raise them to life again, then this profession were to be esteemed. Physic, farewell.
And another generic volume hits the stage floor. Thunk.
Should we worry about who picks them up?
We've got a servant.
Oh, yes.
Yes, there is, introduced later. There isn't much on him, but here we are. Faustus kept a boy with him that was his scholar, an unhappy wag called Christopher Wagner, to whom this sport and life that he saw his master follow seemed pleasant.
Right, so, books go flying everywhere, Justinian...
The law is an ass.
Too servile and illiberal for Faustus.
And then we hit the Bible.
Ah, when all is done, divinity is best.
But what turns him from the Bible?
Jerome's Bible, Faustus, view it well.
Without doubt, he was passing wise and excellent perfect in the Holy Scriptures.
Except we've agreed our Faustus isn't.
Faustus threw all this to the wind, made his soul of no estimation, regarding more his worldly pleasures than the joys to come. Therefore, at the day of judgment, there was no hope of his redemption.
Not helpful.
I mean, it's almost, he picks and chooses, he skims, he misreads, half-reads, stipendium peccati mors est.
And misses the point. The reward of sin is death.
Choppy logic.
Si peccasse negamus fallimur et, nulla est in nobis veritas. Close enough. And so, reads it as if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and there is no truth in us. Why then, belike, we must sin and so consequently die. Aye, we must die an everlasting death.
What doctrine call you this?
Que sera, sera?
What will be, shall be.
Have you considered writing ballads?
It's good to me, yes. Divinity, a Jew.
And on to magic.
And demons.
Not quite.
Oh. Faustus' mind was set to study the arts of necromancy and conjuration, the which exercise he followed day and night.
Yes.
And being expert in using his vocabulary, figures, characters, conjuration, and other ceremonial actions, in all haste, he put in practice to bring the devil before him.
Not quite yet. He's still reading up on it.
Yeah, he's still figuring out what these new sets of books can get him, what he can acquire from magic, not about what it might mean.
These metaphysics of magicians and necromantic books are heavenly.
Vocabulary, figures, characters, conjurations, circles and characters.
Lines, circles, scenes, letters and characters. Aye, these are those that Faustus most desires. Oh, what world of profit and delight, of power, of honour and omnipotence is promised to the studious artisan? All things that move between the quiet pole shall be at my command. Emperors and kings are but obeyed in their several provinces. But his dominion that exceeds in this stretcheth as far as doth the mind of man. A sound magician is a demigod. Here, tire my brains to gain a deity. What do you think?
Well, it's good.
It's all a monologue. We'll get dialogue when he conjures a spirit.
But we haven't got anywhere close to that yet. You keep putting it off.
He's got a servant, hasn't he? Go talk to Wagner.
About the dark arts? To a boy?
Maybe not.
We can't just have him reading. He's got to be corrupted by people. You know what it's like at uni? You get in with the wrong crowd and before you know it, you're a Calvinist. Translating Viri. For fun.
So, he has a confab with someone about the dark arts.
People. Plural. Let's up the ante.
People. Wagner can show him in.
Excellent. We'll circle back to that later.
Mm-hmm. But...
Can we get on to the spirit, please?
Patience.
We have the man. We have the backstory. Can we get on with the demons?
Yes, but we do need to talk to the company about budget.
We can surely do demons.
Not the ones in the book.
We'll find a way. So, scene three.
Scene three?
We need a bridging scene two.
Yeah, we could.
Worry about that later and get to the demons.
All right, demon. Scene three.
A wood.
A grove.
Taking his way to a thick wood near to Wittenberg, called in the German tongue Spitzerwald, that is the English, the Spitzer Wood.
We don't need the Spitzerwald.
No Spitzerwald?
No need to take the Spitz.
He made, with a wand, a circle in the dust, and within that many more circles and characters.
A circle in the dust.
And thus he passed away the time until it was 9 or 10 o'clock at night.
Then began Dr. Faustus to call on Mephistopheles the spirit and to charge him in the name of Beelzebub to appear there personally without any long stay.
He's not a complete amateur. You know, he doesn't call on the devil himself, just some random spirit.
It would kill any dramatic tension in the plot if we know he's irretrievably damned from the off.
Well, I don't know. It's sort of not really in doubt. Can you come up with some suitably non-specific magic that won't summon a...
demon?
Prelate.
All right, I think I can dance a dance. Now... that the gloomy shadow of the night, longing to view Orion's drizzling look, leaps from the Antarctic world into the sky, and dims the welkin with her pitchy breath. Faustus, begin thine incantations, and try if devils will obey thy hest, seeing thou hast prayed and sacrificed to them. Within this circle is Jehovah's name, forward and backwards and aggrammatized, the abbreviated names of holy saints, figures of every adjunct to the heavens and characters of signs and erring stars by which the spirits are enforced to rise. Then fear not, Faustus. Be resolute and try the utmost magic can perform.
Then presently the devil began so great a rumour in the wood as if heaven and earth would have come together, with winds that trees bowed their tops to the ground. Then fell the devil to bleat as if the whole wood had been full of lions. And suddenly about the circle ran the devil as if 1,000 wagons had been running together on paved stones.
Budget!
After this, at the four corners of the wood, it thundered horribly with such lightnings as if the whole world, to his seeming, had been on fire.
Thunder.
Faustus all this while, half amazed at the devil so long tarrying, thought to leave his circle and depart, whereupon the devil made him with such music of all sorts as if the nymphs themselves had been in place. Whereat Faustus was revived and stood stoutly in his circle, aspecting his purpose, and began again to conjure the spirit Mephistopheles in the name of the Prince of Devils to appear in his likeness.
More thunder.
Oh! Come on!
I like the music, but it comes up a lot.
Can we at least have some actual conjuring?
I'll write a load of stuff in Latin.
With a clear cue line for the actor.
I'll put the name Mephistopheles in twice, first as a standby cue, second on his actual appearance. Happy?
Demon!
Oh, you're easily pleased.
Whereat, suddenly, over his head, hung hovering in the air, a mighty dragon.
Mention a dragon in the Latin.
Ask for a dragon.
Ask for an expensive prop.
Then Faustus calls after this devilish manner, at which there was a monstrous cry in the wood as if hell had been opened and all the tormented souls crying to God for mercy.
Even more thunder.
Presently, not 3 fathom above his head, fell a flame in manner of lightning and changed itself into a globe.
Fuck no.
Yet, Faustus crying on Mephistopheles the spirit, suddenly the globe opened and sprung up in height of a man, so burning a time, in the end it converted to the shape of a fiery man.
Double fuck no.
This pleasant beast ran about the circle a great while and lastly appeared.
Enter a devil. Budget request for leather masks, if none in stock.
And lastly appeared in the manner of a grey friar.
Faustus asked Demon to come back in the manner of a grey friar.
Will you please engage with the text?
I charge thee to return and change thy shape. Thou art too ugly to attend on me. Go and return an old Franciscan friar. That holy shape becomes a devil best. Happy?
Yes, pull your finger out.
I see there's virtue in my heavenly words. Who would not be proficient in his art? Is that fortune my foe?
Sorry, earworm.
How pliant is this Mephistopheles, full of obedience and humility. Such is the force of magic and my spells.
Nice additional thoughts.
I want to do something with this Faustus guy.
What, like give him a character?
I know, I'm such a fetishist.
Enter Mephistopheles like an old Franciscan friar. Is that old as in the actor is old or old as in previous?
Both.
And appeared in the manner of a grey friar, asking Faustus what was his request.
Now, Faustus, what wouldst thou have me do?
Now, Faustus, what would you have me do? Faustus commanded that the next morning at 12 o'clock he should appear to him at his house, but the devil would in no wise grant. Faustus began again to conjure him in the name of Beelzebub that he should fulfil his request, whereat the spirit agreed, and so they departed, each one his way.
Is that it? He summons him and then sends him away again.
Well, yeah, you know, they're standing in the woods, it's been a long night, you know, reconvene in a nicer location.
Right, right.
Faustus commanded that...
The next morning at 12 o'clock he should appear to him at his house, but the devil would in no wise grant.
But the devil would in no wise grant. I mean, there's a bit of a struggle there.
I charge... The wait upon me whilst I live to do whatever Faustus...
Isn't it a bit odd to talk about yourself in the third person?
Oh, he's self-obsessed.
Indeed.
Do whatever Faustus shall command, be it to make the moon drop from her sphere or the ocean to overwhelm the world.
I am a servant to great Lucifer. And may not follow thee without his leave. No more than he commands must we perform.
He needs to go to his manager.
We wanted a reason for the delay.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It's from the book.
Right.
Hereupon the spirit answered that he had no such power himself until he had first given his prince that was ruler over him to understand thereof, for it is not in my power to fulfill without his leave.
I must have missed it.
It's in the disputation where Mephistopheles has to go to Lucifer for permission to discuss hell.
Oh, yes, the geographies of hell.
Faustus began again to conjure him.
We've done the conjuring.
Audiences like conjuring.
No, it needs to be a battle of wits. In the next chapter, there's a sense of Mephistopheles playing hard to get or making it difficult.
Then began Dr. Faustus anew with him.
To conjure him that he should be obedient unto him and to answer him certain articles and to fulfill them in all points.
Point one.
That the spirit should serve him and be obedient unto him in all things that he asked of him from that hour till the hour of his death.
Point two.
Further, anything that he desired of him, he should bring it him.
Wasn't that point one?
Yep.
Point three.
Also, that in all Faustus's demands and interrogations, the spirit should tell him nothing but that which is true.
Yeah, but this should all be part of the negotiation phase. That's for the next visitation.
I know, but we can't arrange this all at once. Where's the bit where Mephistopheles draws Faustus out, but Faustus doesn't want to play ball? Show me the cause why, said Faustus.
Yea, shalt thou understand that with us it is even as well a kingdom as with you on earth. Yea, we have our rulers and servants, as I myself am one, and we name our whole number the Legion. For although that Lucifer is thrust and fallen out of heaven through his pride and high mind, yet he hath notwithstanding a legion of devils at his command. It's good stuff, but it's not a play.
No. But there's a world being built. Devils have rules, and Faustus wants them to do things for him, so he has to play by their rules.
And for that Lucifer hath his kingdom under heaven. We must change and give ourselves to men to serve them at their pleasure. It is also certain we have never as yet opened unto any man the truth of our dwelling, neither of our ruling, neither what our power is. Neither have we given any man any gift or learned him anything except he promise to be ours.
Oh, that's good. Here's information we're holding back from you until you join us.
Dr. Faustus upon this arose where he sat and said,
I will have my request, and yet I will not be damned. The spirit answers,
then shalt thou want thy desire, and yet art thou mine notwithstanding. If any man would detain thee, it is in vain, for thy infidelity hath confounded thee. Oh, he's honest about the whole damnation side of things.
But that's playing to his pride. Go on, try and outwit the devil, if you can.
Faustus sat pondering with himself how he might obtain his request of the devil without loss of his soul. It fully was resolved in himself, rather than to want his pleasure, to do what the spirit and his lord should condition upon.
Right.
Right.
So how do we show that?
Let's go over the material for now. So it's a progression. A series of hurdles he jumps towards damnation.
You said it earlier.
What?
There was that thing later in the book.
What?
Hell.
You'll find it.
No, hell, the hell bit.
Oh, no, the hell bit goes on for ages.
I know.
It's all, you know, have you heard about hell? It's terrible.
I know, but he's curious. He wants to know. He wants to know how this works. Faustus asks about hell.
Right, in chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, 15.
Chapter 11, Dr. Faustus dreamed that he had seen part of hell, but in what manner it was, or in what place, he knew not, whereby he was much troubled in mind, and called unto him Mephistopheles his spirit, saying unto him, I pray thee, resolve me in this doubt. What is hell? What substance is it of? In what place stands it, and when was it made?
Faustus, thou shalt know that before the fall of my lord Lucifer there was no hell. But even then was hell ordained. It is no substance, but a confused thing.
What is hell?
A confused thing. For as a bubble of water flieth before the wind, so doth hell before the breath of God.
Thou speakest of wonderful things. I pray thee now, tell me what kingdoms is there in your hell? How many are there? What are they called? And who rules them?
Long list of confusing bollocks.
In what form and shape and in what estimation was Lucifer when he was in favour with God?
My lord, Lucifer was at first an angel of God. Yea, he was so of God ordained for shape, pomp, authority, worthiness, and dwelling that he far exceeded all the other creatures of God.
Tell me the judgment, rule, power, attempts, tyranny, and temptation of the devil, why he has moved to such kind of living.
As my lord Lucifer fell from heaven, he became a mortal enemy both to God and man, and hath used as he doth now all manner of tyranny to the destruction of man, as is manifest by diverse examples. One falling suddenly dead, another hangs himself, another drowns himself, others stab themselves, others unlawfully despair, and so come to utter confusion. For we rule the hearts of kings and princes, stirring them up to war and bloodshed. And to this intent do we spread ourselves throughout all the world as the utter enemies of God and his son Christ, yea, and all that worship them. And that thou knowest by thyself, Faustus, how we have dealt by thee.
Then thou didst also beguile me.
I did what I could to help thee forward, for so soon as I saw how thy heart did despise thy kingdom, taken in divinity, and did study to search and know the secrets of our kingdom, then did I enter into thee, giving thee divers foul and filthy cogitations, provoking thee forward in thine intent, persuading thee thou couldst never attain to thy desire till thou hadst the help of some devil. And when thou wast delighted in this, then took I root in thee, and so firmly that thou gavest thyself to us both body and soul, which thou canst not deny.
Thou sayest true. I cannot deny it. Woe is me, most miserable Faustus, how have I been deceived?
But this is material for later in the play.
Sure, sure, but it's useful, go on.
Chapter 15.
Tell me some more of the secrets of hell. What pains the damned are in and how they are tormented.
My Faustus, thou mayest well leave to question any more of such matters, for they will but disquiet thy mind. I pray thee, what meanest thou? Thinkest thou through these thy fantasies to escape us? No. For if thou shouldst climb up to heaven, there to hide thyself, yet would I thrust thee down again. For thou art mine, and thou belongest unto our society. Therefore, sweet Faustus, thou wilt repent this thy foolish demand, except thou be content that I shall tell thee nothing.
I will know, or I will not live. Wherefore, dispatch and tell me.
Faustus, thou wilt have me tell thee of the secrets of hell, and of the pains thereof. Know, Faustus, that hell hath many figures, semblances, and names, but it cannot be named, nor figured in such sort unto the living that are damned, as it is to those that are dead, and do both see and feel the torments thereof. For hell is said to be deadly, out of the which came never any life again but one. But he is nothing for thee to reckon upon. Hell is bloodthirsty, and is never satisfied. Hell is a valley into the which the damned souls fall. Yea, Faustus, hell is called a prison, wherein the damned lie continually bound. Whomsoever God hath forsaken and thrown into hell, must there abide his wrath and indignation in that unquenchable fire, where is no hope nor mercy to be looked for, but abiding in perpetual pains,
world without end.
So there's something there. There's a relationship.
Faustus has done the research. He's conjured the devil, Mephistopheles.
Ah, but has he? Huh? What if it's simpler than that? The agents of Satan don't need rituals to come. They're coming for anyone who calls on them.
Ah, undermining Faustus' powers, making him just some guy.
Mephistopheles doesn't lie. We have that later in the terms and conditions. What if he's honest from the start? I mean, there's lots of that kind of stuff in the book.
He's just insulting him and his pomp all the way.
Yes!
Did not Lucifer charge thee to appear to me?
Nope. I was just passing.
Did not my conjuring speeches raise thee speak?
Yeah, kinda. But also just happenstance. We listened for those who rack the name of God, abjure the scriptures, fly in hope to get his soul.
So Faustus hath already done, and holds this principle. There is no chief but only Beelzebub, to whom Faustus doth dedicate himself.
And we argue for a bit about what hell is.
Tell me some more of the secrets of hell. No, that's not quite right. Faustus is a know-it-all. He thinks he knows that hell's not really a thing.
Yes, he's not afraid of being damned.
Ah, I confound hell in Elysium.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But he does know that Lucifer must be real.
In what form and shape and in what estimation was Lucifer when he was in favour with God?
My lord Lucifer was at the first an angel of God. Yea, he was so of God ordained for shape, pomp, authority, worthiness, and dwelling that he far exceeded all the other creatures of God.
Tell me the judgment, rule, power, attempts, tyranny, and temptation of the devil, why he is moved to such kind of living.
As my lord Lucifer fell from heaven, he became a mortal enemy both to God and man.
But, okay, how's this? But leaving these vain trifles of men's souls, tell me, what is that Lucifer, thy lord?
Arch-regent and commander of all spirits.
Was not that Lucifer an angel once?
Yes, Faustus, and most dearly beloved of God.
How comes it then that he is prince of devils?
Oh, by aspiring pride and insolence for which God threw him from the face of heaven.
Aspiring pride and insolence, which is exactly Faust's problem.
Yes, so we go back and forth a bit more and then draft agreement to Lucifer. He should be obedient unto him, answer him certain articles, fulfill them in all points. Spirit should serve him, be obedient to him in all things he asked for in the hour of his death. Terms and conditions apply. Anything they desired of him, he should bring it to him. And in all Faustus, his demands and interrogations, the spirit should tell him nothing but that which was true.
Go! Bear these tidings to great Lucifer. Say he surrenders up to him his soul, so he will spare him 24 years, letting him live in all voluptuousness, having thee ever to attend on me, to give me whatsoever I shall ask, to tell me whatsoever I demand, to slay mine enemies, and to aid my friends, and always be obedient to my will. Go and return to mighty Lucifer, and meet me in my study at midnight, and then resolve me of thy master's mind.
I will, Faustus.
And exit.
There's more we can get out of that exchange.
Oh, I'm sure. Play with the hell stuff. Something will come up.
Where are you damned?
In hell.
How comes it then that thou art out of hell?
Everybody's got to be somewhere.
No, how do you come to be out of hell?
I don't know!
No, but maybe Mephistopheles doesn't want to answer either. I'll think on that.
Tell you what, why don't we stow this first encounter for a bit? He's conjured him, he's going to meet him again in his study. We can do that encounter and then work backwards.
Right, so exchange, devil sent away, Faustus all excited about the next meeting.
Yes, he's going to get power, knowledge.
I'll live in speculation of this art till Mephistopheles return again.
Nice, then bridging scene, clown business, TBA.
And then he's in the study and awaiting the devil.
Which we'll worry about tomorrow.
Ah, yes.
So, I have currently a prologue, a speech in his study, books, discussion with some peers.
TBA.
A scene with Wagner in the scene in the woods.
Well, we're just coming along.
And then a bridging clown scene before the signing away of his soul.
So, what else do we need to do to the outline so far?
More speakers. I mean, it's all monologue and there's not enough dialogue.
So, tomorrow, additional scholars of theology and the dark arts.
More Wagner.
More Wagner.
Wagner.
And something else, something so that Faustus isn't always talking to himself. Some way to express his inner turmoil.
His inner turmoil.
It's been a long day.
And more tomorrow.
Are we in that much of a hurry?
Well, I suppose so. Oh,
shit. What's that?
Nothing.
Who's that singing?
No, it's someone out on the street. It's fine. Anyway, we should move on to talking about...
lyrics to me.
No. They're you know what Fortune foes like. It's just the usual ones.
But...
Yeah, we can move on.
Pardon? Wait.
So that's it. But these things. But yeah.
Nash.
It's just a ballad.
Did you write a ballad?
Maybe.
Nash.
Well, Alain has this deal with this ballad seller.
What deal? We haven't even written the play yet.
Well, it was a bit of a rush job.
Oh, well, this is going to be a rush job.
Well, yes, but it was this sort of crossover promotion thing he was thinking we should do.
Really?
Yeah, we better get a shift on, I suppose. I've heard it's selling rather well.
Did I make my tender flesh to bleed? Twice with my blood I wrote the devil a deed. Twice wretchedly I soul and body sold to live in pride and do what things I would. Four and twenty years this bond was made, and at the end my soul was truly paid. Time ran away, and yet I never thought how dear my soul our Saviour Christ had bought.
In Faustus to Faustus, Part 1 by Robert Crichton, Christopher Marlowe was played by Rule Fox, and Thomas Nash by Robert Crichton. The ballad singer was Liza Graham. Faustus to Faustus, Part 1, Enter a Devil, was recorded live at the Marlowe Conference 2024.
You conjurers and damned witches all, example take by my unhappy fall. Give not your souls and bodies unto hell. See that the smallest hair you do not sell.
Do you need to pick that up?
I did.
Yeah.
No, it's all right. I've got Wagner in training over here.
Oh, it's very good. It's very, yeah. Mine's a large one.
Good work, Wagner. Right, and on to magic.
Ah, we'll do the previous line.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we'll do that again. Do so...